you all, some of you all have been praying for Austin Rice. Diane and I have two really good friends, Coach Rick Rice, and he used to play quarterback for Austin Peay back in 1980 and 81 and 82. And they have a 25-year-old son who has been in the trauma unit in Vanderbilt for almost 2 weeks, I guess. And he's had very little brain activity. He's on a ventilator. And this morning, just a few minutes ago, Diana got a text from Christy and says, he opened his eyes. Followed mine and his dad's voice and reacted to pain in his right leg. Praise God. Please keep praying. I don't always know what God's will is, but I want to tell you, we serve a God who's able to raise the dead. We serve a God who's able to make the lame to walk again. He can make the blind to see, cause the mute to speak. I mean, God can do anything. And he can do more. Oh, my goodness. He can bring life. Charlie Beth, raise that baby up. There's our newest second miler. Praise the Lord. Y'all did good, Jacob. That's our newest second miler back there. But y'all, our God is so great. And he can do anything. Anything. There's nothing too hard for God. And he can do more in a moment than we can do in an entire lifetime. And so y'all keep praying for Austin and others that are on your heart and mind. There's a lot of struggle going on in our families, and a lot of people need prayer. I don't know who's on your heart and mind today, but let's pray together. You just pray for who's ever on your heart and mind, and maybe you're standing beside somebody you know is having a hard time. Just place your hand on their shoulder, and that'll let them know you're praying for them. And now just ask God to do what only he can do. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a co-worker, a neighbor. Maybe it's our nation. Maybe it's our president. You just pray for who you feel led to pray for. Father, I don't even begin to understand all that's going on in the world today, or even in our own lives here at Second Mile. I don't understand everything. But God, I know this beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you are God and you are God alone. And there is no one like you. And you are an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present God of the universe. And we just bow our knees and humble our hearts before you today. Lord, you're infinite. We're finite. Your ways are so much higher than our ways. Your thoughts higher than our thoughts. And so, God, there are times in life when we don't get it, we don't understand, but we just got to simply trust you. And we hitch our wagon to Jesus, spiritually speaking, today, and we are going to follow him. I'm so thankful for the trust and the faith that we can have in you. You know what's best, Father. Hear our prayers today for Austin and this little boy that the Hills have brought in. You are the giver of life, and there is no one like you. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Charlie Beth, what's that boy's name again? What? Jack. All right, very good. Give them a hand. All right.
Let's sing.
You take what is and you make it beautiful. When love floods in, we're restored forevermore. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. No guilt competes with innocence crucified. No grave can hold what your grace has just. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. Rejoice, O child of God, lift your eyes to see, with every morning light, again we are redeemed.
Rejoice,
rejoice, O child of God. Lift your eyes to see, with every morning light, again we are redeemed. With breath that brings the dead to life, with words that pierce the dark with light, only by the blood are we set free. With mercy strong to carry shame and nail it to a tree, you alone hold the power to redeem. Oh, you alone hold the power to redeem. Oh, you alone hold the power to
Would you bow with me? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come into your presence this morning and ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word, that you would be with Brother Cal as he brings the message for us, and that we would apply it to our hearts and our lives, that we would be different than how we walked in this morning when we go out. Lord, let us be your light to our community and the world around us. Let everything we do here bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
If you enjoyed the brunch this morning, say amen.
Amen.
And if you want to have another brunch, why don't you give God a word of praise today for that? So three of you want to have brunch again next month, all right? It takes a lot of work, people pulling things together for Sundays here at Second Mile. It doesn't just happen, okay? It takes people being willing to serve, and we're grateful to be in a serving church. And I also wanted to take just a minute to recognize Melissa. Our law enforcement officer received a tremendous leadership award from the FBI. Hey, praise the Lord. You better be a good boy and girl or Melissa will get you. She's got friends in high places now. We love you, Melissa. Thank you for helping us on Wednesdays and Sundays. Our law enforcement officers, our first responders are just simply the best. And we appreciate them very much. Y'all need to put Donna, help me, MoCo Day, November the 9th. Second Mile Loves MoCo Day is November the 9th. Put that on your schedule. From 9 to noon, we're going to be out in the community doing service projects in our community, letting people know that Jesus loves them and we do too. So you're going to need to get on a team and that kind of thing. You'll be hearing more about that as we move through the next couple of weeks. But November the 9th, that Saturday morning from 9 to noon, we're going to go out and enforce. We had over 100 people do that last time. I'm praying that over 200 of you this time would get on a team and go out from here and be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, we have neighbors that need to meet the Lord. And you know what's going to win them? Love. Not getting in an argument with them, not trying to win a theological debate, but loving them. And when they find out that you're out there doing things for them and it's not going to cost them a dime, it's going to get their attention. And then you're going to have an opportunity to minister to people that day. So November the 9th from 9 to noon, we'll get you out of here so you can get to your football game and all that. So, if you have a Bible this morning, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. I want to continue. If you, we've been doing a sermon series on Sunday nights on the Holy Spirit, and they've been so good, I've just kind of been doing some things on the Holy Spirit on Sunday mornings. I don't know if y'all have noticed that or not, but we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and His ministry on Sunday mornings. And so we're going to look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you again this morning about being free from fear. Being free from fear. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let me start there, Ellen, at verse 6 if I can. And back it up and read verse 6 and 7 to you. You've been on your feet all morning, so I'm just going to ask you to honor God's Word in your heart today. But several of you are like me. You're having to take the CBD oil and salve and all that stuff, so I get it, you know. Therefore, I remind you, verse 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Was that the cowbell for dinner? What was that? Greg, hallelujah. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Let me read that again. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God, now listen to this second mile. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Billy Walker, ask God to just bless the word this morning, please, brother. Yes. Servant of yours as he stands before us, fill him with your spirit, anointing. Amen. Thank you, brother. I remember Susan growing up on Lacey Lane. Was it 19 Lacey Lane? I think that's right. I was a young boy. I had four sisters, mom and dad, and we were growing up there on Lacey Lane. I was about 7 years old when we moved there when I was five, I think. But we had a basement in this home. And there was a den, living that type area in one side, and then there's the garage over here on the other side. And so my dad and mom decided to build a bedroom for me to get me away from all the girls, you know. And so they built this bedroom in between the living, the den in the basement and the garage. And there were there was a door coming into my bedroom from the living area side, and then another door on the other side of the room going into the garage, and then there was a door in the back that was went out into the driveway and had four window panes in the top of that door. And at night, remember, I'm 7 years old, and they would turn the lights out, and Mom would always pull that, you know, that shade down over that those four little window panes in my room. And then she would go out and shut the door. And I want to tell you, it was pitch dark in there. I still remember the first night that I slept in the basement bedroom. And it wasn't long before I developed a fear of the dark. And it got to the point where Mom knew she had to do something about it. Thank God for you mamas. And here's what she decided to do. She got one of these little night lights. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And she put it right there at the head of my bed. And you know what? That kind of cured my fear of the dark. Until one night, pillow rested up against that night light, caught on fire, and my bed burned to a crispy critter. So, and then I had to learn how to get over the fear of the dark for sure. I want to talk to you about getting free from fear this morning for the next few minutes. I don't know what type of fear. Everybody faces fear. Everybody deals with it. Everybody's got fear and doubt from time to time. And so, first of all, let's look at the reality of fear. Let me just talk for just the next couple of minutes about the reality of fear in our lives. Now, according to verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul is writing to the young preacher Timothy, who just happened to be the pastor of the great church of Ephesus. Now, the Apostle Paul had founded this church. And young Timothy's wet behind the ears. He's the brand new young pastor there at the church of Ephesus. And he is struggling in his ministry. He's dealing with fear. And the word for fear there in verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. That means timidity or cowardice. Young Timothy is about to cave in or give in or go to pieces under pressure. That's what we're talking about here. And he's ministering in fear of what might happen. My dad was a doctor here for years. And he said, he told me this several times. And he said that 90% of his patients were worried sick about something that had not even happened yet. Did you get that? 90% of his patients that came to his office on a regular basis were worried and were afraid of something that hadn't even happened yet. Now, we got enough to be, you know, to be concerned about with stuff that's already happening, right? And so a lot of us, I think, are guilty. I have from time to time of playing this what if game. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, what if, what if, what if, what if? And before long, guess what? We are captivated by fear, aren't we? I think that's what's going on here with young Timothy. And you know, we live in a world that's dominated by fear. How many of you remember where you were on 9/11? Wow, just about all of you. So, some of you have forgotten, but I think most of you remember where you were at 9/11. And then a lot of our children, this happened 18 years ago. And so they weren't even alive. But I remember just days after 9/11, this country was gripped with fear of terrorism. Y'all remember those days? And what the terrorists had already figured out, and they still know this today, it's a whole lot easier to do an act of terror and to break the will of a nation through acts of terrorism than to try to assemble some huge army. And so you see this fear of terrorism everywhere you go today. Isaac and I went to the Austin Peay football game 2 weeks ago, and guess what? They're checking us for some foreign object. Every time you go to the airport, what are they doing? They're checking you for, see if you've got anything. There's this fear still, even 18 years later, of terrorism in our nation. And you know, some of us have you ever run into some of these folks who, I don't know, do they call them germaphobes? Remember Howie Mandel? And what was the guy, the television show, the germ freak? Yes, thank you, Monk. And Diane and I have a good friend back in Waynesboro, and she's afraid of germs. And really what's behind that is she's afraid of getting sick. Okay? And so she carries a little bottle of antibiotic soap. Actually, she carries 3 bottles with her. She's scared to death she's not going to have. Now, I'm not picking on y'all if you carry one of those in your purse, so I don't want to hear about it, all right? But fear of germs, fear of getting sick, fear of surgery. And you know, I talk to a lot of older folks. My mom and I have had this discussion. Fear of winding up in the nursing home. Or an assisted living facility, or fear of poor health, getting cancer, or fear of heart attacks, and then some of you all have lost a loved one recently. You've had to say goodbye to somebody that just tore y'all to pieces. But I've had people come and tell me that they're afraid to die, and I get that. I've never had to face death, not yet. But all of us, in just a few short years, are going to have to face that. And here's what the Scripture teaches about death. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, He's going to come get you when the time's right. And He's going to take you to a place that is so, so awesome, you can't even compare it to where we are now. I have not seen, nor ears, nor entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And He's going to give you dying grace when you need it. Listen, I've watched Christians die, and there's a difference. And it's because God's grace ministers to us in that time of need. I was up in a hospital one time, and back a few years ago, and this older lady, her health had deteriorated, and she'd gotten so, you know, death can be a welcome friend. Did you know that? And right before she died, you know what she did? She sat up in her hospital bed, and she showed me every one of her teeth. Now, not like that, but, you know, she smiled. Well, I say things wrong sometimes, but she smiled, grinned. I mean, and her face lit up, and she laid back down and went to heaven. You don't have to be afraid of dying if you're a born-again child of God. I talk to a lot of our mamas from time to time, and a lot of mamas can't go to sleep until their kids get home. And you girls know what I'm talking about? They've got fear in their hearts for the future of their children. Diane and I have talked about our our son and about our grandchildren and what they're going to have to face in the coming days. This is not the country that we grew up in. That's fear. We have a fear of our sons and daughters not coming home from war. There's real stuff out there that we... I remember back in 1998, I was just a mile and a half down the road from an F5 tornado. I'll never forget it. And curtain rods and corn stalks and all kinds of things began falling out of the sky. And an F5 tornado had set down in our community. Some people were killed, homes lost, tremendous tragedies. And for months and months and months after that, we had a Mother's Day Out program when we were ministering to dozens of children. And whenever the storm clouds would come up, man, those kids would get tore all to pieces because they had a fear of tornadoes. I understand people that live out in California have a fear of earthquakes, and they ought to have a few more other fears also. People in Haiti have a fear of earthquakes. Some of our senior adults who have worked their worked their hands to the bone, our economy goes up and down, does it not? And it affects their income quite often. They have fear of an economic downturn from time to time. And we live in a world, what I'm trying to say is we live in a world that's dominated by fear. What if? I used to have an administrative assistant, and she used to call it playing the devil's advocate. After about 3 years of hearing what if, every time I came up with some type of new ministry or some type of new way to minister to folks, and she's asking what if, what if this happens, what if that happens, I finally said, Wilma, if is going to happen. And then it'll be time to address if. But we live in a world, what if, right? We live in a world that's dominated by fear. And so I want to spend the rest of our time talking about the resolution of fear. How do you get free from fear? I am so glad you asked. Now, look at verse 6. Here's the key. He says, therefore, Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy's tore up. He's playing the what if game there at the church in Ephesus. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. That word stir up means to fan the flame. To fan the flame. It has something to do with rekindling the flames of a dying fire. I've got a charcoal grill. It's not a grill, it's a smoker. And I like to smoke meat and grill. And by the way, if you go buy a ribeye steak, don't cook it on a gas grill. Cook it on a charcoal grill. Would y'all smile this morning? I mean, it won't help you, but it'll sure help me. And so I'll from time to time, you know, I'll cook some steaks or grill or smoke some meat or something. And you buy, and every now and then you get a bad bag of charcoal, you know. And I'll put the lighter fluid on there, and then it'll go out. And then finally one of the coals, and then I'll have to get down there and do what? I'll tell you what I did, Ricky, one time. I just went and got my blower and I fired it up, put it in there. And the fire finally got going. Most of the time, I've got pretty good charcoal. But that's the idea here, to fan the flame, spiritually speaking. And sometimes that fire deep down within us just needs to be rekindled. Timothy already had what he needed. He already had what he needed for ministry. And can I just say this to you? You've already got what you need. If you're a child of God, if you're born again, if you're a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian, you've already got what you need. And it's a He. It's the Holy Spirit. Think about that. Think about that with me. You have the strongest personality in this universe living inside of you. You have the Spirit of Jesus living in you. The Holy Spirit. We don't have to live in fear. We have the Spirit of Almighty God. And you know, I believe one of the reasons God gave us the Holy Spirit is so that we might stand out from the rest of the world. When tough times come, that's why I was so proud of Bob and Carolyn. I mean, they went through some tough, tough days. But I want to tell you, God used Bob and Carolyn during those days to minister to people everywhere. It was so evident at the funeral. And so, you see, when tough days come, we're not exempt from that, right? Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you're going to be exempt. It may get worse. But you have the Holy Spirit that helps you to respond differently from the way that the world responds. We're to live with a spirit of confidence, boldness, fearlessness. It is, listen to me, it is more than probable, it's more than possible to be so controlled by the Spirit of Almighty God that we don't have to cave in to fear. Do I need to say that again? You can be so controlled by the Spirit of God that you don't have to cave in, give in to the pressures of this world and be filled with fear. Because you have the Spirit of God in you. As a matter of fact, if you have a spirit of fear, if you live in fear, it's not from God. It's not from God. Did you hear what he said? God has not given us a spirit of fear. God didn't give you that fear. And so the very moment that doubt, that fear arises in your heart, you recognize where it's coming from. It's coming from the evil one. He doesn't want God's best for your life. And if he gets you to fear and doubt, if he get all these negative things going on in your heart of hearts and in your spirit, he's got you. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can live in confidence. You can live fearlessly. Oh, this is a good word for the church today. I'm telling you. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us. Now, he's given us three things. What's the first one? Power. He's given us power. Power! Say that with me. Power! I still love the old Energizer Bunny commercial. Don't y'all? That bunny is powered by those Energizer batteries. Well, you've got something that's much better than Energizer batteries. You've got the power of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus in you. I'm preaching now. Listen. And then you've got, and there's a second thing that the Spirit of God has given us. And we not only got power, we got what? Love. Say that with me. Love. You see, we've got the love of the Holy Spirit in us. And we can just slosh all over everybody that's around us. The love of God. And then, this is a poor translation here. A sound mind. You know, when I think of sound mind, I'm thinking of somebody that, you know, that's, you get what I'm saying, right? That word there literally means sober and balanced. The better word, the better choice there is self-control. You don't have to fall to pieces because you've got the self-control of the Holy Spirit. And if you'll just fan that flame a little bit. Well, how do I fan the flame? By the way, I have found out in my life, I can't live the Christian life in fear. I can't sing in fear. I can sing anyways, but I can't preach in fear. I cannot witness in fear. You know, one of the reasons that we don't witness like we ought to is because we're afraid we'll be rejected or turned away. How many of you guys back in the sixth grade got your best buddy to go ask this girl, will you go out with him? Because you didn't have the boldness to go ask her. Because you were afraid of what? And then my buddy came back and said, Cal, I've got bad news. She'll never go out with you. Oh, thank God. At least I didn't have to ask her. You know? So we've got the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And all we need to do is plug into that power source, that love source, that source of self-control. And, you know, you think about Jesus. He was attacked by Satan time after time. He was surrounded by demonic activity. And do you ever see him cringing in fear? Well, you've got his spirit. Hello? You've got his spirit in you. And about the only time that Jesus was, I think, on the borderline of fear was when he was in the garden praying. And I don't think he was afraid of all the pain and the suffering. The Bible talks about him looking into this cup. And you know what it was? It was the cup of sin. That's what got him. That he would become sin for all of us. You don't have to live in fear ever again. Just fan the flame of the gift that's already inside of you. Now, how do I do that? Well, two things. Number one, Scripture. Isn't that what Jesus did? Turn those stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. That's what the Word of God says. And that's what we ought to do. Let's read these verses of Scripture. Look at Joshua 1:9. Ellen's going to put them up for us. I'll read them up there. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. How many times does the Bible tell us that? Fear not, be not afraid. How many? 365 times. How many days in the year? That's one for every day of the year. Nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You can't get away from Him. He's with you. And then hallelujah, look at this verse. Psalm 23:4. I bet you know this one. Yea, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Look at, throw up Psalm 27:1-3. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Those would be some good scripture memory verses for us. Psalm 34:1-4. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That His praise shall not what if. But His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make it boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I had some other verses, but one of the best things you can do to combat fear is to memorize Scripture, to hide God's Word in your heart. You know, last Sunday night, some of you all are thinking, well, I can't memorize Scripture anymore. I'm too old. I can't memorize anything. And I went around the room and I started asking folks about their address. And I'm talking about folks in their 80s. Phone numbers, birth dates, anniversary dates. And you know what? Everybody got all those right. You can still memorize Scripture. You're going to need those promises of God. And one of the best ways I know when fear is attacking you is just to begin to give God praise. Just start praising the Lord whenever fear comes knocking at your door. I've asked Diana to sing. This song says it a lot better than I can preach it. And I wanted her to come sing this song for you all. Because one of the best, outside of Scripture, I think giving God praise in the good times and the bad times especially will help you. Come on, honey. Come on. Ellen's ready for you. All right. Y'all listen to this song. This is what we need to do in tough times.